When did you come to Lakewood first?
Okay, we're going back to 1958.
Yeah, yeah. Where were you coming from?
Okay, I was in Manchester, England. I was born and raised in Manchester, England. And I went to the Master Yeshiva and received smicha from the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef Siegel. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then in 1958 is when I left to come to Lakewood.
What motivated you to come here?
Well, I'll tell you, it was actually the Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva meaning the Master Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah.
It was, I'd reached a point where I needed to move on from the Master Yeshiva.
What level were you at that time?
Well, I was already, as I said, I'd already received smicha.
Uh-huh.
And so I was ready to go to one of the larger yeshivas. The question was either Eretz Yisrael or to go to America. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of a few different places in America, a few different yeshivas. But the Rosh Yeshiva, he suggested...
Mm-hmm.
And he strongly recommended, he made a few inquiries, and he said, I just remember exactly the lashon he used. He says, the uncle, he says, you need to go to Lakewood. Lakewood is for you.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was, he sent a letter of recommendation to the office of the Lakewood Yeshiva, and at that time there was, you might have heard the name, Osher Katz.
Yes, yes.
He was there, he was the secretary at that time. And a letter came back from him, signed by the Rosh Yeshiva, and saying that I had been accepted for a two-year fellowship to Lakewood.
So what's a two-year fellowship?
Well, in other words, all expenses covered.
Uh-huh.
And like a scholarship.
Uh-huh.
So 2 years, and then he went to another 2 years, and so on and so on, uh-huh. And the rest is history, I suppose.
What was your first encounter when you came here?
Well, when I came to Lakewood, I actually knew absolutely nobody. There's nobody I knew there. There was one young fellow, slightly older than I was, Yaakov Mordechai G.
Uh-huh.
I think you know who he is. Yes.
Right.
Now he was from Gateshead.
Right.
And so he was the only English bocher that was there. So naturally, I got together with him, and he was very helpful to me, and he showed me the ropes, as they say. And we
did you also meet the Rashiva before that?
Well, when I came into the yeshiva, I recall this vividly. Arriving at the yeshiva, it was in the evening, and as soon as I stepped in the main hallway there, I was approached by some Bachem. I told them who I was from England. Immediately they called G.
Uh-huh.
G came over, and then he took care of me. I believe it was the next day when I saw the Rosh Hashanah.
What day of the week was it?
Yeah, I think it was, you see, what happened was, I think it was a Wednesday, but
right.
You see, the Rosh Hashanah used to come to Lakewood on the Thursday and stay till the Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
And then he would go to New York, to the office in New York, so... but it was the next day when I met the Rosh Hashiva,
mm-hmm.
And I remember he called me in. He had a little room. This was in the building on the corner of 7th and Forest.
Right.
And he had a room there, which was like a sunroom. It was all surrounded with windows in the corner there. And he called me in, and we spoke a little bit, then he says to me, no, perhaps it's a shtickel tire. So, I asked the Shaila, I asked him a question from the Gemara.
Which Gemara was it?
It was at Shabbos,
yeah.
The very beginning of Shabbos. And actually, in retrospect, right, so when I thought about it afterwards,
yeah.
It was very, very simplistic. It was a very elementary question. I was kind of embarrassed to think that I asked such a question.
Mm-hmm.
But I recall that he responded very patiently, and it was masbir, the answer, as though he was explaining a difficult rambam.
Mm-hmm.
he wasn't mevatel, whatever I said,
mm-hmm.
But it really was a very simple question, a very basic question.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my first encounter with the Rosh Hashiva. That was the second day I was there.
Okay, then what other observations did you have?
Well, there are a few things. You see, talk about the shiurim, for example. I had to admit I was somewhat advanced in learning, but I wasn't prepared for the learning in Lakewood. It was a different madriga completely, especially when it came to the shiurim of the Rosh Hashiva.
What masechta was it, or they holding in?
I think at that time, if I'm not mistaken, I think they were starting Yevamos. And so it was a shiurim masechta also.
Right.
And the Rosh Hashiva was giving his shiurim, and you, as you probably heard from all the others, it was very difficult to understand. He just, it was like he was a continuous machine, as a, he just went on and on and on, and it was very difficult. Of course, there was a chazora at that time with Yankel Schiff. You probably heard Yankel Schiff.
Sure.
He used to say the shiur over, so we used to go to him. But I remember that after the shiur, when he finished the shiur, he would sit down in his seat next to the Aron HaKodesh there, and his face was literally glowing, you know, shining, you know, like the pasuk, it was a kikaron oil upon off, you know, from the nachas and the simcha he had from giving the shiur. I mean, that's, I think it's the closest I've come to seeing the shina mamish on
what time of the year was that?
This was in April. It was in April. It was after Pesach. It was right after Pesach. I came for that, and for the summer's man. And so that, and then what happened was the very interesting. Yeah. In the summertime, you see, I had nobody in America, no relatives. So we had a bit of a problem, Yaakov Mordechai G and myself, as to where we should go, Ben Azmanim. The yeshiva was basically closed. Although Bishas Tadchak, we could stay in the yeshiva. So we went around to a couple of other yeshivas, the Chavetz Chaim, spent some time. But the interesting thing is that every summer, Ben Azmanim, the Bachrim, as you probably know this, would go to Zucker's Hotel in the Catskills, and this was paid for by the yeshiva. And so this was my first year there. And already in right after Tisha B'Av, we all went to Zucker's. And I thought it was Givaldic, you know, it was very nice. It depends how long you had been in the yeshiva. You were there for 1 year, you went for 1 week. Those who were there longer went for 2 weeks. But the reason for that was because the Rosh Hashiva maintained that the yeshiva bachrim, they had, they're entitled to, you know, they learn a whole year, they should have a respectable vacation and with in a hotel with good food and service, no less than Balabatim. I remember him saying that once, that yeshiva are entitled, well, for Osnish, Balabatim, the yeshiva bachim certainly should go. And that was the philosophy of the Rosh. That's why he sent the bachim every year.
How many bachim used to go at that time?
Well, there's all the whole yeshiva. When I was there, how many were there? 120?
The whole yeshiva, not only the, I'm sorry, I thought maybe just the only people didn't have place.
No. This was the whole yeshiva. The whole yeshiva, certainly all the bachrim. I'm not sure about the married men, but the bachrim, all the bachrim were sent to Zucker's Hotel. And I remember the first year I was there for 1 week, and then after that we were there for 2 weeks, and it was really wonderful, because the Rosh Hashiva felt that we, you know, the yeshiva bachrim should have this. So that's
was the Rosh Hashiva there too?
No, he wasn't there. You know, he did not go there. I don't recall seeing him in Zucker's. I don't believe he did go there at that time. He might have come maybe once for a Shabbos, but generally he wasn't there. But it was a very nice time. We were there you know, the every day. There was of course there was learning, but there was geschmackheit. There was things to do and the good food, and it was very good for the bachrim. And so that went on for all the years I was there, as far as I can remember. Let me see what else I was thinking about, wanted to tell you. The somebody... Hello?
Yes.
Somebody asked me, actually, the other day, we were talking about Rabbanon Kotler. did the Rosh Hashanah dance on Simchas Torah? It must have been Givaldic, you know, it was the dancing all over the place,
yes.
And so on. I said the Rosh Hashanah did not dance on Simchas Torah. What he did was he would go around the bimah, you know, walk around the bimah, and that's basically what he would do. But you didn't see any wild dancing, anything like that. First of all, well, I don't know, maybe he was an older man at the time, maybe he couldn't dance. But I think it wasn't that. He wasn't an individual of in terms of private any shtick or... that wasn't him. Everything was very down to very posh and very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I do remember when he was going around the bimah, and I mentioned this actually to one of my chaverim just recently, I said, I recall here that he had sort of a faraway look in his eyes as we were going around,
mm-hmm.
sort of a faraway look in his eyes. So my chaver said to him, what do you think? He was thinking of Tyra. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his Simchas Tyra.
Mm-hmm.
The Torah itself, that's how we have Simchas Torah.
What about the Yomim Noraim?
The Yomim Noraim, again, also I'm trying to recall, the Yomim Noraim was very intense, of course, leading up to it, in terms of Musa and everything, but in terms of the Rosh Hashanah himself,
mm-hmm.
I don't recall, he gave a drasha, he gave drashas, he gave us a shmuzim,
mm-hmm.
but he davened like he always davened, and again, no shtick, nothing like that at all.
He wasn't davening very long, things like that.
Not particularly. He davened a little bit longer than the Olam, but I think he was very conscious of Tircha D'Tzibur mm-hmm. and so on, but no, he wasn't that. He was constantly a man of Torah, completely.
Mm.
He was the Torah and Ravano were mamish, one and the same, sort of. And so that's what I recall. On the other hand, not only talk about his Torah, his Tzidkus is legendary.
Yeah.
You know, of course, of the Rebbetzin Pearl.
Yeah.
And she said that the Velt says my husband is a great Gaon. I say he is a greater tzaddik than he is a Gaon. And you did notice it in many ways with the Rosh Hashanah. His small things,
yeah.
but you saw his gadlus. I'll give you one example. For example, there was, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this to you, but there was an elderly lady there who lived in the building
mm-hmm.
in Lake. Her name was Mrs. Berman.
Mm-hmm. She was a cook, I think?
She was a cook, sort of, yeah. She was a part-time cook. But she also took care of the Rosh Hashanah's personal needs. Mm-hmm. Like, she took care of his room, because the Rebbetzin didn't come to Lake, which was right. New York. So she took care of his room, she took care of his food, and things like that, and she also helped out a little bit with the Bochrim, with the laundry and so on. So I remember one day, I remember vividly, he said, Rosh Hashanah said to the Bochrim, and when we were in the dining room, he says, be careful, I'm translating it into English, he said, be mm-hmm. careful how you treat Mrs. Berman, Z is an almona. She's a widow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that, you know. It was always stuck in my mind.
Sensitivity.
It's very, very, very sensitive, yeah. And that brings me to a personal matter.
Yeah.
And this is actually a very personal matter. And this is concerns my parents. You see, my parents were in Manchester
mm-hmm.
when I came to the States. But then they, after a few years I was here, they saw I'm not going back to England, so... my father was had some business connections in the States, so we decided that they're going to come to emigrate to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And this was there in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was they needed, of course, an affidavit to obtain a visa.
Right.
So I approached the Rosh Hashanah,
mm-hmm.
and the Rosh Hashanah arranged for me to go to Unim.
Right.
And Irving Unim, who signed the necessary papers, and he vouched for my parents to emigrate, and then they came, and they emigrated to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the Rosh Hashiva did. You know, he did a lot of these things, kahena v'kahena. You know, he did these quiet things with Bokrim that... See, this mice I just told you, nobody, I've never told this to anybody, nobody knows this mice. Of course, after they hear this, they'll die, but it doesn't matter. But there were many, many stories that Rosh Hashiva did quietly for the Bokrim. Many Shiduchim, for example, he was involved with. I know even myself, he read a few Shiduchim. And so he was, you know, he was close with the Bokrim. And in fact, once he asked me particularly to learn with a certain Bokhar.
Mm-hmm.
He said it would be very good for him and for me. So he knew what was going on with the Bokhrim, and he was very sensitive to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so these are some of the things, you know, that the Tekufa there, when the Rosh Hashiva was there, it was a unique Tekufa. It was a one-time thing, you know, the Rosh Hashiva there with the aura about him, everybody, you know, when you came in, you felt his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting that I think almost all the Talmidim, I remember when I was there, okay, when I think back, and I look to see where have all the Talmidim gone, and almost all of them either became Rosh Yeshiva, became Rabbeim, Menalim, Rabbonim.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, you know, what came out
mm-hmm.
from that Tekufa when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it all has to do with the, you know, the Hashpah, obviously, of the Rosh Hashiva. And so that was, I was very fortunate, I think, to be able to, I was 4 years, you know, I came in 58, the Rosh Hashiva was Nifta in 62.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 4 years with Rosh. I must admit, I was not that tremendously close with him. I was a young guy who had, you know, just came from England and sort of a greenhorn, as they say. But there were older guys there.
Right.
So they were very close with him. I did get a little bit close with him over the course of the 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I did approach him on a few occasions concerning, you know, questions and in learning, not too often, I must say, and you know, it was a unique experience, and it's something that has kept me, I think, in you know, all the years when I think back about it, it's given me chizuk.
Well, when did you left after the Pira?
Yes, oh yes, I was in Lakewood for 10 years.
10 years, wow.
I was in Lakewood
for 10 years. So you were with Reb Schneer also?
Oh yes, Reb Schneer. I knew Reb Schneer very well. Reb Schneer was Masada Kiddushin for me. And so I was very, very close with him.
And your parents live here now?
Yeah, okay. My parents moved to New York at that time, and they lived here.
Where they live?
They lived in Kew Garden Hills.
Kew Garden Hills.
And but that was already in the middle 60s.
Right.
And so I was in Lakewood for, as I say, for 10 years.
What year did you leave?
Lived in 68.
So I came 2 years before that.
You were there in 68?
I wasn't in the yeshiva, but I was in Lakewood.
Is that so?
Yeah. I was already in Lakewood. And, did you know Yehoshua Asaf?
Yes, of course I know Asaf.
Yeah, he was very friendly with me when I came there.
Really?
Yeah.
But you were not in the yeshiva?
No.
Interesting.
I was Balabas. I was and still am Balabas.
Aha, I see. No, Asaf I knew very well, of course.
So he was the first person that I really got involved with.
Yeah, a very nice fellow, I remember him. And unfortunately, I have not been in contact for several years.
Well, he was Mr. 2-3 years ago.
He was. That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Mm. But that's the first person I had came in contact with.
So in 68, I was already in the Colonel for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to a a point where it was necessary to put bread on the table, as they say. And so I decided to move on.
So where did you move to from there?
Well, from there I moved to Providence, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for 9 years. I was in Chinook.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I went on to Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was there for 25, 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
In Rochester. I was a Rob in two shuls.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Joseph Center was the first one. The second one is Light of Israel, which even now I'm the Rabbi Emeritus there.
Mm-hmm.
Of Light of Israel. And then in 2001, I took the position as the Chief Rabbi in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there till 2008,
yeah.
7 years. And then now we moved down here to Baltimore. Our children are here.
That's what I figured.
And I'm,
what are your children doing there?
Well, there's one of them works for the government. He commutes from here to Bethesda.
Uh-huh. Well, what field?
He's in the health field.
Uh-huh. He's a doctor?
He is a doctor, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's in research.
Uh-huh. But NIH?
NIH, that's right.
Place to go there many years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we have a grandson who's in Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
And so, Baruch Hashem, I teach in part-time in, you don't know the place, it's called the Beth Medrash in Masefta, Baltimore. It's a very fine yeshiva.
No, it sounds like a new place.
Yeah, well, it's been there for 7, 8, 9 years, I think.
Yeah.
It's run by Rav Schlanger. Rav Schlanger used to be the head of the Mechina in Israel.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you know Rabbi Heinemann, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Moshe, I know him very well.
And
from Lakewood.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. I forgot about
Lakewood.
That.
From Lakewood. Yossi Tendler.
Right. Yeah.
Also from Lakewood.
Right.
These were the guys when I was there.
Okay. I don't want to divert the subject.
Oh,
could you like give me like a finale for what you feel the Rosh Yeshiva did for you and everybody else?
Yeah, well, I think, like I mentioned before, when I think back and I think of the Rosh Yeshiva as an individual and as, of course, as a man of Torah,
yeah.
I mean, it gives me chizuk all the time. It gives me chizuk in terms of learning. The Rosh Hashiva was constantly, you know, in learning.
Right.
Wherever he was, his mind was all the time, you know, all the time in learning. So it gives me chizuk in that regard, and in terms of learning, and in terms of again the Yiras Shamayim, and not necessarily in terms of the Chitzonis. That the Chitzonis is not the ikkar really. It's really the Pnimius.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things we spoke about, the sensitivity and the learning and all of that, it just gives me chizuk.
No, but I think as a more of a world view, of not so personal, if you have any opinion on that. If you were speaking to other people, what would you say in terms of what he did?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of a world view, he was very... Put it this way, he was very strong in his opinions.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't necessarily agree. There were those who disagreed with his mahalach.
Mm-hmm.
But his derech was Torah.
Right.
This is what he was. Torah and Torah and Torah. That is it. And, you know, like he said, I think in one of his svarim, he says that the hashpah, the yeshiva bachim were learning in the yeshiva, the oiros, the light from the yeshiva is mashpia on the whole community. And, you know, this is, as I say, disagreed with some others, but he maintained that Torah is what one has to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of that, he was able to establish, you know, all these Talmidim. You know, I could rattle them off right now, but I don't want to do that. I could rattle them off, all the Bachrim and the younger light who have started yeshivas in all places in the United States is because what they got from the Rosh Hashiva. If the Rosh Hashiva would have been in any way weak, in a sense, you know, as stark as he was, I don't think he would have had that ash bore on the using the light. So, so he definitely, you know, he's responsible. It's no question. The tyrant in America, there's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. I'm going to stop.